And we're going to look at the latter part of Zechariah 11 there, because I think that somebody's being mentioned here, a specific person. So let's go through the timeline of God's people. So you had God's people were chosen. That's Israel. And these 12 tribes would be the people that God would bring his Messiah through, who is the Good Shepherd. And so today we talked about how God's people got off track. They had a 70-year exile in Babylon. They were allowed to come back so they could rebuild the temple. God was going to keep them around and keep them as a people because he was going to bring Messiah through them. And so today in chapter 11, we talked about the coming of the Good Shepherd. And this is Jesus. And it even shows how he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. It names the exact price. And that money would eventually buy the potter's field, just like we know happened. And so in the timeline of history, and then we know that Jesus died on the cross and he rose again and he's gone back to heaven. So what's going to be the next major marker that's going to happen in the timeline of eschatology before Jesus' second return? What's going to be the next major thing that's going to happen? Well, some would definitely say that. I believe that is entirely possible because it talks about this individual that's going to stand in that temple and say he's God. So who is that individual? Antichrist. So I think the revealing of the Antichrist is probably the next major marker that's going to happen. Now, I personally believe in a pre-tribulational rapture, so I don't think we're going to see the rule and reign of the Antichrist as the church today. I think we will get raptured before the rule and reign of the Antichrist happens. But there's going to be a delusion and a falling away right about the time that the Antichrist is revealed, and he's going to step right into the middle of it, and that's how he's going to use that situation. And if you imagine removing the whole church all at once, it leaves another vacuum there that he is really going to have a heyday. But we got to understand that delusion and that falling away happens first. And so since that happens first, we're going to see, I think the revealing of the Antichrist along with this great delusion and this falling away of the church right before we see a rapture, I think that's going to be really our next sign. And a lot of people will say, well, Pastor, I'm seeing a lot of that right now. And I think we do see a world that is being primed. We're being made ready for the Antichrist. I can tell you, if a person marched forward today and said, I can cure coronavirus, I got a feeling the whole world will fall in lockstep with them. Don't y'all think there's a possibility? Large part. Because let's face it, look at how much pressure they're putting on everybody with these vaccines, and they don't even work. I mean, I'm just going to be blunt. They don't work. Like in the UK, 67% of the people who died of COVID this summer were fully vaccinated people. Yeah. I know. But evidence shows us otherwise. But boy, we can see this great delusion, don't we? And there's people that are just like so trusting Anthony Fauci. I'm just going to say it. He has proven himself to be very untrustworthy. So why are people still listening? Well, I think we're seeing some of that evidence of a great delusion. Now, I'm not saying this is the great delusion, but I think that we are seeing that it most definitely could happen among the masses. Amen? Don't you think people were kind of thinking that as well whenever Adolf Hitler took power and everybody got in lockstep with him and started just exterminating a whole ethnicity of people? I mean, what in the world was going on there? I think, again, the world was being primed for the Antichrist, and I do think he was a type of the Antichrist. And if it would have been time that God would have said, all right, Jesus, it's time to go back, I think that he definitely could have been the one who would have taken up that role at that point. You see, Satan don't know when that's going to happen, so he's always grooming somebody for it. He's got somebody on planet Earth right now who would take up that position if it was time. But here's the thing, guys, whenever it comes to this revealing of the Antichrist, I think that as we see in Zechariah chapter 11, I think this worthless shepherd that it's talking about in verse 17, in verse 16 it talks about how he's not just going to hurt the or ignore the sheep, but he's going to wound them. He's not going to be a healer, but he's going to feed on them, and he's going to eat the flesh of the fat and tear the hooves in pieces. And then in verse 17 of chapter 11 of Zechariah, woe to the worthless shepherd who leaves the flock. A sword will be against his arm. You see, it's singular. I think this is talking about the Antichrist. Antichrist is going to be, you know, a false Christ, a false shepherd, one who comes and says he's there to heal, but in fact he's there to take advantage of and destroy, isn't he? And so if we look at the timeline here, it's setting the timeline in Zechariah to show us that the coming of Jesus, the breaking of the old covenant, the sealing of the new covenant, that's his death, right? His burial and resurrection. That he had to be sold for 30 pieces of silver. You see, it's showing that he indeed comes, and he is the good shepherd. He indeed, puts away these other three shepherds. And as we talk today, you know, I really believe that was the spiritual leaders of the day, the Pharisees, the scribes, and the high priest line. And I think that then we see, you know, that after he does all that, now we know because we can look at the life of Jesus. He went back to heaven. The next thing that's going to happen is this revealing of this false shepherd that you would talk about, this really worthless shepherd. And he's a terrible individual. And then we'll read on into chapter 12 just a little bit here. And then he goes on to say, the burden of the word of the Lord against Israel. Thus says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens, lays the foundation of the earth, and forms the spirit of man within him. Who forms the spirit of man within him? God does, right? Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples, and when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem, and it shall happen in that day that I will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. All who would heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth are gathered against it. In that day, says the Lord, I will strike every horse with confusion and its rider with madness. I will open my eyes on the house of Judah and will strike every horse of the people with blindness. And governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of hosts their God. In that day, I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan and a wood pile, and like a fiery torch and sheaves. They shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, Jerusalem. In her own place. So let me ask you something. Is the place Jerusalem significant still today? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why do you think the Jews regained their homeland after World War II? Because God said so. And God used those nations to restore them to that. And I'll tell you what, there's still a fight about it today, isn't there? Because Satan doesn't want to see that. But I want you to know that there's going to come a day whenever you're going to have all of these who are going to come and seek to destroy Jerusalem. And we see that there's like this drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples. And I just want to say, I think that's in some way kind of talking about this great delusion. Who brings that drunkenness? Who brings that stupor against the world and causes them to not be able to think right? Well, Satan would like to see it because he feels like he can take advantage of it, but it's really God who gives them over to it. And it's because they've rejected the Holy One that they fall into this. If you look in Romans chapter 1, it shows us a little bit about that. And it talks about how there was a suppression of the truth, then God gave them over to the uncleanness of their heart, and then in the end it says he gives them over to a reprobate mind to do stuff that don't make sense, guys. Reprobate just flat out means a mind that don't work right. And I'll tell you what we're experiencing. We're experiencing the outcome of a rejection of God. And it's only going to get worse unless, as a society, we bring God back into the picture. And so there's going to be this real heavy push to try to get the church out of the picture. Are you seeing it yet? If you don't get vaccinated, you're going to be out of the picture. We're not taking any of those, you know, any of those opt-out things for religious conviction. You know, we don't want to hear all that. We're not paying any attention to all that. You guys are the bad guys. We've got to get you out of the picture. And I'll tell you, all that's going to do is work right into the enemy's hands. And then if we reject God in the process and we don't do our part as the church and really stand for God, you know what? Then the church is giving them over into the enemy's hands. It's our time to stand true. It absolutely is. Yeah. I'm not speaking of it in a future tense because I see it happening right now. And so here's the thing. Do we want to see our entire nation just given over into a mind that's of a stupor? Just a completely reprobate mind? Then we better not suppress the truth. The only one that can suppress the truth is one that has the truth. Suppress means like to press down, to put it in a basket over here. What did Jesus say about that light? We're not to put it in a basket. We're to let it shine. What did he say about the salt? If the salt loses its saltiness, guys, it ain't even good. It ain't even good to throw in the dung. Think about it. So here's the thing. Are we going to take up our time in this history timeline and be the church? Are we going to stand faithfully and unashamedly for God? Because it's the only chance we have. It really is. We're significant in this time. I'm significant in this time. You individually are significant in this time. We're not called to like single-handedly take on the government all by ourselves, or take on these bad guys, or take on the Antichrist if he's being revealed. We're not single-handedly powerful enough to do that. But what I want to remember was the battle cry that David said as he came out against Goliath. He said, "It's not my battle, but it's the Lord's. The Lord will win this battle." And you know, I believe we're in a time in history where there's a whole lot riding on us just keeping our focus on Christ. Keeping our focus on Christ. And we need to live out the dictates of our conscience. There's going to be pressure, and we could even suffer some loss on the outside. But here's the deal. We need to stay true to God. If I reject God and if I go away from him thinking somehow or another I'm on my own, I can do what I want, and I have to do this because these other people are insisting on it, so I just have to, you know what I'm really doing? I'm giving up my good sense to do that. I've got to realize that the only thing I got going for me is Jesus. The only thing I got going for me with my reasoning that's right is because God lives in me. So don't ignore him. Let's stick with him and just continue to go forward with him. You know, if we don't, then I think we're just going to see a greater outpouring of this time of this great delusion. And I think the only thing that's going to stop this progression of it is for Christians to stand for Christ and bring him back into the equation. Do not be ashamed of Jesus right now. And if people make fun of you for your stance on a vaccine or whatever it may be, just your stance on life, say, I don't care what you think. I only care what God thinks. That's my number one commitment. Go ahead and turn to Matthew 24. We kind of touched into that just a little bit today. Whenever I was talking about in 70 AD, there's this abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, which Daniel had spoken about. I believe, you know, it seems to have been that Titus went and stood in that holy of holies without fearing God. That was a short-term fulfillment of the prophecy. Paul talks about that after this great delusion goes out, that the Antichrist of the end will also stand in the temple and say, I am God. So that's long-term fulfillment of that. But let's read on just a little bit further. We read 15 and 16 of Matthew 24 this morning. Let's start at 17. He says, let him who is on the housetop not go down to take anything out of his house, and let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes. But woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. And pray that your flight may not be in winter on the Sabbath, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And again, short-term, long-term, I think this is especially, this part of it is really talking about the 70 AD invasion of the Romans into Jerusalem, the way they destroyed Jerusalem. Those who believed were able to escape. They had time to get out, and they went right away. And they did not have to suffer like those who didn't believe and stayed in Jerusalem. Verse 23, and again, it's mixed with long-term prophecy as well. It says, then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, do not believe it. And this is the part I really want to focus in on today. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he is in the desert, do not go out, or look, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe it. For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. And wherever the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So you see, after the great delusion, you have this Antichrist that's going to come and take over. And then after the rest of the seven-year tribulation is finished, then we're going to see Jesus return. And you know, it's going to be like nothing that we could ever imagine. I believe that the church now will already be with him, coming back with him at that point. And so what an amazing day that will be. But you know, here's the thing. We're still back up here in verse 24. False Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. You see, he told us beforehand so that we not fall for it. He wants the elect to be discerning. Who's the elect? It's the church. It's those who are called by God and have accepted the call, and we're part of his body, his family, who he is. We have the Holy Spirit living in us, and we have got discernment available to us that the rest of the world don't have. So what we need to do is we need to believe God, and we just need to act accordingly. And we need to keep our eyes on the prize and not be deceived. We need to continue to go forward with him. I'm going to end with one more short reading of Scripture, and this comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I kind of want to cap it off because I want you to see, I really wanted to also get into Revelation as well. And I mean, we could just make an all-nighter out of this thing because there's some amazing strength of God that is going to be revealed during this time, and it's exciting. He's going to save Jerusalem from the onslaught of Gentiles, and they're going to see their Messiah. We're going to be reading about it soon in Zechariah, but it's explained in detail in Revelation. how this whole thing's going to play out. But we're in this interim time. We're in the time when the church is still available on planet Earth, and we are still significant, and God is working through us now. We are God's mechanism to reach out to the rest of the world, to affect society for his sake as well. Let's go ahead and jump into 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And it says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come." So there were some who were lying, and they were saying, "Oh, yeah, that whole rapture thing had already happened. You guys missed out. You're left behind." Isn't that funny? Not really. And so Paul's saying, like, they somebody forged a letter and said it was actually him that wrote it. And he said, "Don't even believe that, okay? Don't worry. You'll know it. You'll know it when it happens." He says, "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first." Okay? Falling away, speaking of the delusion, right? And then even people within the church membership fall away. But I want to reassure you, I don't think that's talking about saved people. Did you know that there's people that get membership in churches that aren't really saved? Does that shock anybody? And, you know, you can put your name on a roll and you can answer some questions, but that don't necessarily mean you're saved, right? You're not saved unless your heart is surrendered to Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit has moved in. That's how we know we're saved, okay? And so that falling away happens within, you know, the church role. But I want you to rest assured that it would deceive even the elect. And I love those words that Jesus said, "If that were possible." And man, I'm hanging on those words. I'm believing that that won't be possible, because Jesus said, "If that were possible," and it's not. You see, if I'm in Christ, he's going to give me the discernment I need. He wants me to have it. He's not hiding it from us. He's not pulling it back. He's not saying, "Boy, don't you wish you had it." He's saying, "Come to me and I want to give you more." But it's available. It's here. We got a portion of it, okay? And so he goes on to say, so that day will come. It won't come until unless the falling away comes first, verse 3, "and the man of sin is revealed." Some say the man of lawlessness, the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist being spoken of here. Verse 4, "who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." Do you see what he's really vying to do? Why did Satan have to get thrown out of heaven in the first place? Because he wanted to be like God. He wanted the worship for him. And he was so convincing that he deceived a third of the angels. They got thrown out with him. John? Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so that's what he tempts us to want to do as well. But he's actually going to get in the temple, and he's actually going to say, "I'm him." Okay? Verse 5. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I foretold these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. Guys, this is all described in Revelation to the T. It was in total agreement with what Paul was saying here. That's because it's coming from the same Holy Spirit. In verse 9, "the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them," what? "Strong delusion." Now, guys, here's the thing. Whenever you're in a society where God has sent the strong delusion, you're in the last stages. There ain't no turning back. It's one thing that if Satan sort of deludes some people, they might be able to break free from that because he isn't God. But if God says, all right, that's it, I'm giving him over to it. None of us know when that time will happen. And we need to do everything we can to pray that God would open people's eyes right now. Because I think that as a nation, we're right on the cusp of it. God showed me at the 40-year mark of legalization of abortion, he showed me, he said, 40 years is significant. You look back in Scripture and you find it over and over and over again. And he said, I'm not going to allow the killing of those innocent babies forever. It's an Amber Alert, or a weather alert. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So, with all power signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth. So, who perishes? The ones who did not receive the love of the truth. Now, rest assured, if you're a child of God, he will give you discernment. He's not going to just give you over, but we need to stay close to him that them might be saved. And for this reason, God gave them a strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, here's the thing. Let's just say that time was right now. I'm not saying it is, but let's say it is. What should we be doing as the church? What do you think we should be doing? The only ones that get to break free of the strong delusion are the ones who accept the truth, give their life to Christ, right? Yeah, hold out that truth. Let's be faithful. Again, I can make this an all-night extravaganza because if you get into chapter 25 next, he talks about this is what the faithful servant does while his master is gone on a long journey. We need to keep on keeping on. We need to keep being his hands and feet. We need to keep representing him. We need to take care of those who are poor and needy and those. I mean, and poor means a lot more than just money. He's not just talking about just throwing money at stuff. He's talking about like being there with them, trying to show them the way. You know, we read in the whole thing about the Good Shepherd coming here in Zechariah chapter 11 that it was the poor among the sheep who listened. You know, and it's those who are poor in spirit right now who come looking for help, who are ready to hear about Jesus. It's those who are hurting. It's those who realize they got a need that they can't fulfill. It's those who may be fearful. It's those who are in, you know, let's be Jesus' hands and feet. What kind of things, you know, does he tell us to be doing while he's gone? Feeding his sheep, feeding his lambs, taking care of them, okay? Whatever we do unto the least of these, visiting in prison, visiting when they're sick, you know, clothing when they're naked, feeding when they're hungry, right? All these things. Why? Because we want them to know what the love of God looks like. That's why. And so just keeping our eyes on the opportunities that he's laying out before us. It looks different every day. I'd like to be able to give you a list and say, okay, here's your checklist for tomorrow. I don't even know what my checklist is for tomorrow. Because I don't know who I'm going to encounter and what their need's going to look like, but I know one thing. If God gives me the opportunity, let's point to him through it. Let's keep our eyes on what God has before us. I want you to rest in the thought that God will keep you, that he will give you discernment. Now, here's our part. Let's act upon it. Whatever it may look like, I don't know. You know? I know what it looks like for me on some issues. And I'm not trading in my relationship with him or my conscience before him for man's expectation. So let's make sure that we keep God first. I'll tell you a little story about the whole coronavirus thing, and then we'll close in prayer. Back in COVID-19, when they tried to shut all the churches down and everything, you know one group that said, nah, was the Amish. Yeah, isn't that an awesome story? The Amish people in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, they said, yeah, we're going to go on and meet. We're already together. We work together. We live together. All of our families are tight-knit. Doesn't make sense for us not to meet to worship God because we're already meeting on all other points. And so they went on, and they continued to worship God together. And guess what? Like a whole lot of them, dare I even say most of them, got COVID. Somewhere around 90% is their best estimate. Of course, the scientific researchers say, we can't really confirm that. You know why? Because the Amish people really didn't care to call on them with any of it. They just trusted God would get them through it. Do you know they had the fewest amount of deaths from it as well? And now they have herd immunity. And the one guy said, they come down here trying to get us to take their vaccination. He said, we don't want that vaccination. We've already had COVID. We're fine. I love it. You know what? They just kept doing what God said in his word. God said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And so they just did what God said. And you know what? God took care of it. And some would say, yeah, but preacher, they got COVID. Yeah, they did. I did too. It wasn't real fun. Praise God. I survived, and I got immunity now. And I felt just like that dude. I don't want your stupid vaccine. I've already had COVID. I'm fine. And so I'm just going to keep going forward, and there's going to be a lot of people that say that I'm dangerous and I'm the problem. Well, they wouldn't say that if they really knew the Lord. So I'm just going to pray they'll come to know the Lord. And maybe in the process, we'll be able to meet in the middle then, because we'll have the same mind. But I want to praise God that whenever that delusion comes, God's people who are really his are safe. Let's stick to him. Okay? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are the one who gives us discernment. And I pray for a greater measure of discernment in your people. That don't mean that we won't get confused sometimes, that we won't be unsure sometimes. We may even feel fear sometimes. But we're going to lean back in on our relationship with Jesus. The Holy Spirit's going to guide us through. And I want to praise you that old Satan might be able to deceive many, but he's not going to be able to deceive us if we're in you and we stay close to you. You're going to get us through it. And so, Lord, help us just stay true to you. We are your mechanism to reach out to the people of this world for the sake of the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Now I pray we'll be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for coming.